Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is a global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery. This is Scott Becker, and I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Amanda Chaney from the Mayo Clinic. Dr. Chaney, it's great to have you on today. We're going to talk about coronavirus, priorities, and more. Can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Amanda Chaney. I'm a nurse practitioner at Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm a nurse practitioner in liver transplant, but I also chair our advanced practice provider subcommittee. And as chair of that group, we have practice oversight of about 250 nurse practitioners and PAs on our Florida campus.
Well, fantastic. And what are the sort of, what are you seeing there so far in terms of the coronavirus? What's your sense of what's going on? How is it looking so far?
Yeah, so I think that's front and center on everyone's mind right now. We have a lot of plans in place to anticipate more and more patients coming in to the hospital to be treated for coronavirus, as well as patients who just have routine medical problems that doesn't stop just because we're in the middle of this pandemic. So we have ramped up our planning as far as making sure patients' needs are met and making sure we have enough staff to care for those patients. So in our current state right now, we are in a very, very busy planning phase to make sure that if there is a surge of more patients coming into the hospital for treatment of symptoms, that we're well prepared for that.
Now, Mayo is really one of the top one or two respected health systems in the entire world. And so you as a leader at Mayo must find yourself with other providers, friends, colleagues across the country calling you and asking you questions. You know, what should we do? What's the right things to do? What should providers be doing? What do you do about PPE? Other types of things. So what do you tell people that ask you, you know, what's going on? What do people need in terms of PPE? What are the right moves that providers should be making now? What are some of the things that you tell people?
Sure. Well, I think first and foremost, our social distancing and the measures that our local authorities have put into place are definitely the right moves to make. Making sure that there, if you know somebody who has tested positive, to make sure that they are isolated and make sure that they are abiding by those social distancing measures so that we do stop the spread of more people having infection. I think good hand washing and good those skills that we learned very young are very important to limit the spread. And as far as us in the hospital, I think everywhere there's concerns about the amount of PPE and that eventually we're all going to run out of those very awesome protective measures. So we at Mayo are doing our due diligence to try to preserve those for the appropriate situation so that we have supply of that when needed.
What are the keys to communicating with your team during crises like this? How do you communicate with them? How do you keep them, you know, appropriately fearful, but excited and engaged, you know, and not so anxious that they can't do their jobs? How do you communicate with your team to keep people sort of as positive as can be in a challenging situation?
Right. I think that's just always really challenging. Obviously, everybody is very anxious right now. Everybody's worried about not only catching this virus, but then also spreading that if they are infected to their loved ones and family members. And then how and when do we go back to work and take care of the patients that we need to take care of? And there's just a lot of questions that we just try to obviously engage in the question and understand where people are coming from and appreciate their concerns and their anxiety, because I think everybody's feeling that no matter what center, what part of healthcare we're working in, we're all have that front and center on our minds. I think the awesome thing with our group at Mayo is that everybody is just wanting to jump right in and help. They understand that there is a need, that we are looked at as the leaders maybe in this field to be able to help with this surge, potential surge of patients coming into the hospital. And the response that I have received in people wanting to jump right in, and even if it's not, even if they need to be trained on something, even if they need to learn something new, they are just willing to jump right in and help. And so they're just amazing people. And it's just really an honor to be a part of this sort of planning and coordination of these efforts.
I'm going to ask you two connected questions, and they're related, but they're somewhat related. What's the pride in being a Mayo Clinic person and leader today, or not even a leader, any kind of affiliate with Mayo Clinic? What's the pride in that? And then also the pride in being a nurse practitioner today, as nurses, as doctors. I've seen probably for the first time in a long time, like the heroes that they are again. I mean, we've been facing shortages of nurses, doctors in our country. There's been tremendous burnout. There's been skepticism in some communities towards physicians. Are they hiring people? And do we love them or not love them? But what's the pride today in being affiliated with Mayo and in being a provider today? Talk about that pride just for a moment.
Sure. So I think now more than ever, our local and federal government is recognizing the impact that nurse practitioners and physician assistants can have on caring for patients. Many times there are nurse practitioners or a physician assistant in a rural area, and with some state limitations, they are unable to see that particular patient because of state mandates requiring them to have a supervising physician. And a release of those barriers could allow nurse practitioners and PAs to see patients and give them the appropriate care that they need without needing that that physician supervision piece. And I think we're in an amazing time where we're seeing that many states are seeing that nurse practitioners, MPAs, can make a very unique and wonderful impact into providing care for those patients who may not otherwise have had any sort of health care. And it's really exciting to see some of the changes that that our current government has made in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, in that the nurse practitioners and PAs are really seen as being a part of that frontline staff who can really make an impact and see patients timely and appropriately and get their health care management going accordingly and what they need.
Thank you so much. Let me ask you a follow-up question to what you're just talking about. Is there's great shortages in our country even before this, and this amplifies the shortages in our countries. Would this lead us to much greater allowance to allow practitioners to practice at what they talk about as the top of their license, to do the maximum they can do in more and more places? Talk to us about that for a moment, because you were really focusing on that as you were speaking. Talk more about that.
So it's been an interesting question, and one that I've been involved pretty closely with for the past few years in chairing our subcommittee, in that, so we've had this question come up very frequently: what does top of scope mean? And people spread those terms around very frequently, but what exactly does that mean? And I think for the most part, it involves nurse practitioners and physician assistants to do what they do best, which is see patients, provide patient education, prioritize, manage, treat, triage, do all those things of treating chronic illnesses, health promotion, disease prevention, all of those really important things that we do really well. And without needing a physician signature on a piece of paper saying that we're allowed to do those things. There are some states that do require that still. And then there are some states who've moved in the direction of more independent practice. And it's really awesome to see that move and change in the right direction. I believe that it's important always to have a partnership with our physician colleagues. I think if there's any sort of situation, patient clinical situation where I may not have encountered that situation, I would phone a friend and phone my physician colleague, my nurse practitioner colleague, whoever has that experience, and know, to better know what the best practices are to treat that patient accordingly. I think we do that in every specialty. I think every clinician will do that, whether you're a physician or whether you're an APP or an advanced practice provider. I think it's that sort of partnership and collegiality that sometimes in some areas are missing, but I feel very strongly, especially at Mayo Clinic, that we have that degree of collegiality and teamwork in place to really have a team approach to caring for a patient.
Thank you very, very much. And just it's whether people like it or not, regardless of territorial issues or not, for a whole bunch of reasons, we have such shortages in so many places, we're going to have to either mint a ton more providers and or let practitioners practice at the top of their license and do more. And I love what you say about doing that in partnership with physicians and specialties versus us versus them and so forth, because that will lead to much better results in the long run. But it seems like there's no way around it in a country of 325 million plus people and great shortages of providers. Dr. Cheney, what else are you excited about now? When you look at the future, not this moment in time, the coronavirus, what do you see as, you know, the big things that excite you for the next couple of years?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I would love to see more and more partnerships with a multidisciplinary team. I think at Mayo Clinic with APP integration into the care team model, I think that is a very unique model, and it works well for us. And I think it is something that other organizations and healthcare in general can adopt to their own organizations. I'm just really excited that there are more and more nurse practitioners and PAs that are bringing that unique perspective to more senior leader tables. I think that's awesome. And those organizations that do that, it's very forward thinking of them to do that, because many times our practice issues and things like that are unique. And to appreciate that on that platform and on that level is really amazing. And some organizations aren't there, and some are, and those who are, I think those are definitely very forward-thinking groups. And I'm proud that the organization I work for is definitely one of those.
Well, thank you very, very much. Anything else you'd like to share with the audience today? Any inspiration, anything positive, anything else you'd like to share today?
No, I'm just, I thank you for this opportunity and sharing a little bit about what nurse practitioners and PAs do and what we can do to contribute to healthcare in this day and time. And I just wish everybody to stay safe where you are. Thank you so much.
Dr. Cheney, what a great pleasure to visit with you. Thank you so much. We'll get this out shortly. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening today. This podcast was brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is the global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery.